Yadi
although
api
suddenly
asau
he Lord Sri Krishna
parshvagataha
just by the side
rahah
gataha
exclusively alone
tathapi
still
tasya
his
angriyugam
the feet of the Lord.
Navam
navam,
new year and
new year.
Pade,
step.
Pade,
in every step.
Ka,
who?
Virameta,
can be detached
from.
Tatparat,
from his
feet.
Chalapi,
moving.
Yat,
whom?
Shri,
the goddess
of fortune.
Na,
never.
Jahati,
quits.
Karhichit,
at any
time.
Translation and
purport by His Divine Grace,
Esi Bhaktivedanta
Swami Prabhupada,
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Although
Lord Sri Krishna was
constantly by their
sides,
as well as
exclusively
alone,
His
feet appeared
to them
to be
newer
and newer.
The goddess
of fortune,
although by
nature always
restless
and moving,
could not
quit the Lord's
feet.
So,
what woman
can be
detached from those
feet,
having once
taken shelter of them?
Purport.
Conditioned
living beings are
always after the
favor of the goddess of
fortune,
although by
nature she is moving
from one place to
another.
In the material world,
no one is
permanently fortunate,
however
clever one may
be.
There have
been so many
big empires
in different
parts of the world.
There have been
so many powerful
kings
all over the world.
And
there have been
so many fortunate
men,
but
all of them
have been liquidated
gradually.
This is the law
of material nature.
But
spiritually,
it is
different.
According to
Brahma Samhita,
the Lord is
served very respectfully
by hundreds and
thousands of
goddesses of
fortune.
They are always
in a lonely
place,
also with
the Lord.
But still
the association
of the Lord is
so inspiringly
newer
and newer
that
they cannot quit the
Lord
for a moment.
Even
though they
are by nature
very restless
and are moving
about,
the spiritual
relation with the Lord
is so
enlivening
and resourceful
that
no one can
leave the company
of the Lord
once having
taken shelter of
Him.
The living
beings are by
constitution
feminine by
nature.
The male
or enjoyer
is the Lord,
and
all
manifestations of
His different potencies
are feminine
by nature.
In the
Bhagavad Gita,
the living
beings are
designated as
para prakriti,
or the
superior
potency.
Jai Shri Shri Radha
Kanjivyari ki.
Shri Shri Gaurataya
ki.
The
material elements
are
apara prakriti
or inferior
potency.
Such
potencies are
always employed
for the satisfaction
of the employer
or
the enjoyer.
The supreme
enjoyer
is the Lord Himself,
as stated in the
Bhagavad Gita
5.29.
The
potencies,
therefore, when
engaged directly
in the service of
the Lord,
revive the
natural color,
and thus
there is no disparity
in the relation
of the
potent and
potency.
Generally,
people engaged in
service are
always seeking
some post
under the government
or the
supreme enjoyer
of the state.
Since
the Lord is the supreme
enjoyer of everything
in or
outside the universe,
it is
happiness to be
employed by Him.
Once
engaged in the supreme
government,
governmental service
of the Lord,
no living
being wishes to be
relieved
from the engagement.
The highest
perfection of human
life is to
seek some
employment
under the Lord's
supreme
service.
That will make
one extremely
happy.
One need
not seek the moving
goddess of fortune
without
the relation of
the Lord.
Although
Lord Sri Krishna
was constantly
by their sides,
as well
as exclusively
alone,
His
feet
appeared to
them to be newer
and newer.
The goddess
of fortune, although
by nature,
always
restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's feet. So what woman can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter of them? So we are reading from the chapter, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka. The nature of Krishna's attraction is being explained in this verse. How Lord's form, Lord's speech, Lord's behavior and Lord's company is so attractive that somebody like Lakshmiji, goddess of fortune, who is always residing by his side, and sometimes even alone, being with the Lord, is never bored of the association of the Lord. She always is hankering for more and more company of the Lord. Such eagerness is being spoken here, and it's a very amazing fact that is being explained here. The nature of the material world is that if you obtain something of your desire, that you have been desiring for a long time, very soon you find you become bored in want of variety. And then in want of variety, naturally there is a ponderance over other objects, something else other than what you have, when you have something. It's very important to understand the nature of a material object and a spiritual personality, spiritual being. There's a big difference. And that is clearly being observed here in this verse. In the material world, we find we have unlimited desires, as much as number of stars in the sky. There are unlimited desires. Even if you are given the whole universe as a gift by someone, like Hiranyakashipu was given by Brahmaji, despite having the whole universe with all its facilities for enjoyment, still he was not satisfied. That is the nature of this material world. It is said, the nature of the objects in the material world is that when you get one object, then you want better one, better one, better one. You want more and you want better. Like for example, you get a car. Now by the time you get the car, you want a better facility. If you have another car with a better look and more facility, then you feel, maybe I should have got that. Similarly, you want a particular job, you know, or a post in a company. So you get that post and you're very proud and you're very happy. And then you find somebody else with a post, with more privileges, with more power. Then you think, you know, oh, that is better than this. I can have more power and more privileges. You always desire for something better in this world. Always. You want more and you want better. That is the nature of this material world. That is why it is said there are 5 P's which pinches in this material world. Beginning with penny. People want to accumulate more and more wealth. More and more penny filling their pockets. And also people are looking for pleasures of this world. Shabda, Rupa, Sparsha, Rasa, Gandha. There are 5 types. Of pleasures that we look for in this world. Like we want to go for some sightseeing to some place where we have never been. And we also want to hear some new songs. We are bored with the old songs. We also want to taste some new items. That is why sometimes they come up with new and delicious preparations. Like in Govinda's house, we introduce new items because people are asking for new. What is new in your hotel? People want new taste for the tongue. They want new type of smells. Similarly, sense of touch also. Sense of touch is characterized by sex life. People are dissatisfied with one partner. Then they want to go for a second and third partner. Like in America, they have more than 4 or 5 partners, every man. So, we can see that we chase after the pleasures also. Now, besides penny and pleasure, we also want people. We want to have relatives. We want to have friends. We want to have connection to some big shot. We want to say that I know so and so. I am connected to him. Whether he knows you or not is not so much known. But I know him. You want to have connections with people. And you want to be known as famous amongst many people. So, connection with people is also a desire that we have. Similarly, we have desire for possessions, to possess some property or land, to possess some luxuries, comforts, facilities, objects. We have desire also for possessions. And we have desire for position also. Some position or post which brings you some fame and name and prestige, status, power, all these things. You want a position. So these five P's are most aspired by people of this world. And the materialistic people commonly, they always fan the fire of ambition. They always tell the people, work hard, get it, fulfill these ambitions in life, be ambitious. And the whole world is chasing after this. But even if you chase after these things, you'll find, as we were saying before, that you get bored. You look for variety. You're pondering over some other object, even when you have one. It is said, the hankering that we have in our heart for possessing these objects, that creates a kind of mental agitation. That mental agitation is very painful. The constant want for something more, something better. So that oscillation of the mind makes one go practically mad. And then after chasing after an object for a long period of time, struggling for it, like Prabhupada gives an example, you see in Bombay, people are hanging from the trains in the morning, how they go to their jobs to make money. Sometimes people go from Pune to Bombay for doing a job, just because they get 300 rupees more monthly. They're ready to go from Pune to Bombay. People work so hard. So when we have a hankering, mind is agitated. When mind is agitated, then the body is agitated. Because the effects of the mind are seen on the body. Then the body also works very hard, struggles hard in order to obtain those pleasures. And then when you get an object, now it seems that you have become very happy now. When you get a particular object. But do you know where that happiness comes from? As soon as you get the material object that you are looking for, the restless mind comes to a state of temporary rest. Again, the pleasure you get is not obtained by getting the object, but by the temporary rest that you experience. The temporary rest gives you the joy. But then, because it is a material object, again, there is a boredom. Then you get it. Again, there is a want of variety and ponderance on other objects. Again, there is mental agitation. Always. Then one goes for something new. Something new. People, everyone wants to go to some new place. They want to meet some new people, enjoy some new varieties of pleasures, and do something new. The whole thing becomes stale and boredom. You can always see that. That's the nature of this material world. So, what should be done? Expression or repression? Repression is also considered a great danger. You ask the psychologists, they will tell you, when you try to repress the desires, you get some psychological disorder. When you try to repress the desire, which also turns into physical disorders later on. Trying to suppress the desires. Trying to say artificial no to the desires. So, expression of desires is hankering, chasing after the objects of this world. And repression of desire is to say artificial no to them. Although you are constantly, the desire for having them is lurking in your heart. So both the things cause problems. Expression and repression, both the things. So many people say, the solution is neither expression nor repression, the solution is cessation of all material desires. Like Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudramapah pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapnoti nakama kami. He says, sashanti mapnoti, you will obtain peace when nakama kami. If you are hankering for the objects of this world, chasing after them, you will not get happiness. Because no object in this world can satisfy you. There is a great spiritual reason for this. For anything to be called as an object, or anything to be given a status of an object, it has to have four things. The name, form, qualities and activities. If any one of this is lacking, then anything cannot be called an object. For example, Brahma Jyoti is not an object. Why? Because it has no form. It is a distinctive trait of the absolute truth. But it is not a separate object. So, you take any object, for example, like you take a book, to be called as an object, it has a name, and it has a particular form. It has certain qualities, and it has certain activities for which it is supposed to be meant for. It is meant for some use, like that. Anything to be called an object. In the spiritual platform, the name, form, qualities and activities, all these four things are simultaneously one. Like when you say Krishna, as soon as you say Krishna, the name of Krishna, immediately the form of Krishna, the activities of Krishna and the qualities of Krishna, everything is simultaneously present in the spiritual world. But in the material world, because of the soul coming to this material world and covered over by the anarthas, the impurities in this world, which are the, especially the material energy which is not conscious, or the dead matter, aparaprakriti, coming in contact with the material nature and being covered by it, the living entity is not seen to have all these four things in one. They all are scattered here and there. For example, you find somebody's name very sweet, somebody's form very beautiful, somebody's qualities very laudable, appreciable qualities, or somebody's activities very glorious. You find that. But you don't find all these things in one personality in this world. Like somebody is called Shobha. The name is Shobha, but you see the person is very ugly. There is no beauty. Because there is only one quality. Out of the four things, there is only name. Name is very attractive, that's all. But our mind has a tendency to imagine. As soon as you hear the name, immediately you imagine that the person must be a very beautiful person because name is beautiful, you know. You imagine like that. But then when you see the person is not beautiful, isn't it? That's why in cinemas what they do, like a very beautiful cinema actor or actress is acting, but their voice is very rough and coarse. It's not very sweet. Then they dub the voice of somebody else who has a more sweet voice. Or they put somebody for singing. Some Lata Mangeshkar, somebody, they put somebody for singing. Janaki or somebody. So they sing very sweetly. Now you see that singers, see the photo of the singer. Are they beautiful? No, voice is very sweet. But the person is not beautiful. For a cinema actor and actress, they are very beautiful, but they don't have a good voice. So you will find that all these qualities get separated in the material world. The name, form, pastime, name, form, qualities and activities. Like for example, somebody may have a nice name, nice form, but then they don't have the pure qualities or activities. Like I was hearing this famous actor and actress who are acting in the Ramayana by Ramanand Sagar, isn't it? Some Arun Govil and, you know, then. So he would go in between to smoke cigarettes, you know, in between each, after every show is over. So in the drama he is playing a very nice role of Lord Ramachandra. And people are offering namaskar to him when they saw. You know, when they saw the actor coming out, many people would touch his feet, thinking that this is like Lord Rama. But that Lord Rama has to go and smoke a cigarette in between. Because he has no qualities. He has no activities. So, in the material realm, the objects of the material world always are deficient. They lack something. That is why they cannot satisfy us completely. That's the main reason. Every object in the material world has a deficiency. When Rama came out of the Samudra Manthan, she came with a garland and she wanted to offer the garland to someone who is completely perfect, absolutely perfect. And she could not find one. She went to many places. She found, you know, she saw Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was very powerful in his austerities and penances. So she thought maybe he is a very suitable personality. But then she found he is very unclean. You know, he wears basma all over his body. He is having snakes around his neck. Then she thought, Shukracharya is very intelligent, very wise, very learned in the Shastra. But he is very attached to remuneration. So he misguided Bali. So he is crooked in nature. So she rejected Shukracharya also. She thought Indra is the most handsome. And he is the chief of all the demigods. Very powerful. But then she saw that, you know, Indra is afraid of the demons. Sometimes he becomes cowardly. In order to capture his post and keep it with himself, he does naughty activities, mischievous activities. So she rejected Indra also. She saw Parashuram. Parashuram was very powerful, carrying the parashu, carrying the axe. And his prowess was undoubtedly very great. But she said he is merciless. He cut off the neck of his own mother. And he killed so many kshatriyas. He is very merciless. So in this way, she saw different personalities. And she was finding out who is the person who has all the qualities with no deficiency. Who is the person who is spotless. At last, she saw Lord Narayana, Vishnu. And she went and garlanded Narayan, saying that this is the absolute person with no deficiency, no defect. So, when we observe Lord Krishna, his name, his form, his pastimes, his qualities, his activities, all these things are complete and perfect in themselves. And because all these things are present in one person, he is sarvakarshak. He becomes all attractive. Absolutely no deficiency. Nobody can find any fault. No dushanam. No fault in the person. So, when the jiva leaves the company of such an all-attractive lord and comes to this material world, unfortunately here, he has to wander after different objects. Like one object is attractive because it is beautiful. Like for example, a boy marries a beautiful girl. So he is very happy that I got a beautiful girl. But after marriage he finds that she is always shouting, yelling at him. Then he becomes very disheartened. Alas, I never knew this. Because the qualities are not there. But sometimes, you know, somebody is going to marry, is shown a girl, and then person feels this girl is not so beautiful, but she is having great qualities. Amazing qualities. Submissiveness, humility and all that. That is why sometimes when a boy has to marry a girl, generally you ask any boy, he will say that, you know, I want the most beautiful girl, who is most intelligent, who is a software engineer, who is earning such a big digit salary, a five-digit salary, and at the same time most humble and submissive, and then you have to wait for Brahma to create one for you. Especially it's not possible, because you will never find all these qualities matching in one person in this world. It's very, very rare. But in the spiritual world, all these things exist in Krishna simultaneously. So no, even the Lakshmis don't get bored with Krishna. In fact, here Prabhupada is explaining, Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi, has a restless nature. She is called as Chanchala. Chanchala means who is always restless, who cannot remain at one place. Like in the material world, you find Lakshmiji doesn't remain with one person. Like a rich person always is fearful that somebody else will take over, and he will become more richer than me. Why? Because money keeps flowing in this world, from one pocket to another's pocket. It doesn't remain with anyone permanently. And that's the nature of Lakshmi, Goddess of Fortune. But in the spiritual world, it is said Lakshmi loves the company of the Lord so much that she is simply satisfied remaining in the Lord's feet, massaging Lord's feet. She is ready to stay there permanently. Nowhere, she doesn't want to go anywhere else. It's very amazing because Lord is so attractive. And specifically it is mentioned here that sometimes the Lord is with Goddess of Fortune alone. Why is it said? Sometimes, you know, when there are too many people around a person, so he may take the association of one person little bit, and then he may also get the association of the other people. But if you are alone with a person, for example, if two people stay together alone for a long period of time, sure enough they will get bored in each other's company. They will find fault in each other, always. You will easily find that. Like, you know, nowadays, in the modern days, we have nuclear families. Unlike the Vedic families, which are joint families. In joint family, what happens? You know, so like if a man has a quarrel with a wife, you know, he has got his brothers to whom he can reveal, you know, and he has got his grandmother, grandfather to whom he can go and complain, you know. And so there are a lot of people in a joint family. So there is variety. Variety of association. You have your uncle, you have your aunt, you have your atya, you know, different names they say, no? Isn't it? There are, people have 20, 30 types of relationships they have. So you will not get bored with one person. But in the modern times what happens, you have to live only with one person. You know, one man and one woman live in one flat alone. So very soon they are going to get frustrated in each other's association. Because what happens in the material world, when the objects come together, there is a friction between them, especially in relationships, especially conscious objects when they come. There is a friction because of each person's expectations about the other person. So, When it comes to Lord, it is said Lord was served by God's fortune and she's serving him eternally and she never got bored. She wants to go on serving him eternally. So that is the nature of the spiritual personality of the Lord. That is the nature. And anyone who associates with Krishna becomes maddened by ecstasy and wants to associate with Krishna more and more and more. That's why the word Nava Nava Rasa is used. Like Billamangala Thakur's very famous poetry, he says, you know, Nava Nava Rasadam Anudya Tarantumasi. What is it was? Yadavadi Mama Cheta Krishna Padaravinde Nava Nava Rasadam Anudya Tarantumasi. Tadavati Patanari Sangame Smaryamane Bhavati Mukavikara Shushtu Nishtivanamcha. Billamangala is saying that Yadavati Mama Cheta Krishna Padaravinde. As soon as I began associating with Krishna in my heart, in my chitta, when Krishna occupied my heart, what happened? He says, Nava Nava Rasa Daman Udyatarantumasi. Newer and newer and newer fresh mellows of Krishna's nature, Krishna's characteristics, Krishna's leela pastimes, they are constantly occupying my heart. And he says that, you know, that is so relishable, so tasty, that he says, whenever I have a smaran, nari sangame smaryamane, when I think of the company of opposite sex, man for woman and woman for man, he says, bhavati mukha vikara shushtu nishtivanamcha. My lips curl in distaste and I spit at the very thought of it. Prabhupada used to say, I spite at the very thought of it. So, how we can spit at the thought of company of opposite sex, when in this world people are mad for having the company of opposite sex. You see, in the modern times, boys and girls, they are so mad for each other and the relationships are let loose. And the culture is, Western culture is following the multinational companies like a shadow coming to India. And people think, what's the problem? People are becoming fearless to commit sin, preparing to go to hell. You can see that. But they don't ask this question, they don't have sufficient wisdom to understand where is this attraction coming from. This attraction is coming from the spiritual plane. So, here Billamangala is saying that I don't feel any attraction. When I think of the opposite sex, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. He's saying, why? Because our bodies are simply made up of five panchamahabhutas. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. That's what this body is made up of. It's like a clay toy. All our bodies are like what? Like a clay toy. We are sitting inside. The Atma is sitting inside. But what gives beauty to this body is that spiritual spark. Like Prabhupada was once walking in the street and he showed a doll of a woman to his disciples. And Prabhupada said, can you enjoy that woman? And the disciples said, Prabhupada, how can it be enjoyed? It's a toy. It's a doll. And Prabhupada said, it is the same with all our bodies. All our bodies are simply like a mud toy. That's all. It's nothing. Because the soul is present, the body is very beautiful looking. Like as soon as a person dies, where is the beauty gone? Where is the beauty of that body gone? The body simply disintegrates into pieces. The body is burned into a pile of ashes. Or the body starts disintegrating and is eaten by the worms and eaten by vultures and foxes. Or eaten, it's simply useless. Nobody can stay near a stinking dead body for more than 3-4 hours. Beyond that, the body becomes obnoxious. You want to get rid of it. That is the material body. So the beauty is coming from the spiritual spark, which is a part and parcel of Krishna. So one has to have the X-ray vision to see through the superficial veneer of this material body and see the spiritual spark. So all these things, the beautiful qualities that one is exhibiting, the beautiful activities that one is performing, or the beauty of the person's body, or the beauty of the names, all these things, they have attraction because they are connected to Krishna. The spiritual spark is a part and parcel of Krishna. That should be understood. That's why he is saying that Nava Nava Rasa Daman. When I think of Krishna, I see newer and newer mellows arising. Why? It is said in Vrindavan, you know, when a flower is blossoming, like a sunflower is blossoming in the morning, when Krishna sees the flower, he becomes very happy and he smiles. Seeing Krishna smile, the flower blossoms more. And Krishna smiles more. In this way, there is a competition between Krishna and his devotees to please each other. There is a constant competition. And Krishna's beauty and activities and pastimes, they are ever expanding. It is that even Krishna doesn't know how they are expanding. Even Krishna doesn't know his own extent of his beauty and qualities in nature. It is said once Krishna, simply by seeing his own form in the pillar, in a crystal pillar, he became stunned, seeing his own beauty. Who is this handsome personality, he thought. Krishna is so amazing, so attractive. Everything about Krishna is beautiful. Like the way he is decorated with beautiful peacock feather, with a beautiful turban, with a stylish attire of the clothes, the pitamba that he wears, the way he is having a threefold bending form, tribhanga lalitam, and he plays on his flute, and he is ever fresh and youthful. Adhyam purana purusham navayavanam cha. This is the paradox that can bewilder the Western philosophers. Krishna is the oldest, yet he is the most young, and young and fresh and youthful, always. There is a song by Vallabhacharya where he sings, Adaram Maduram, Vadanam Maduram, Hasitam Maduram, Nayanam Maduram, Gamanam Maduram. Krishna's walking is very beautiful. You can simply see Krishna walking from one place to another. It is so beautiful. And Krishna's face is so smiling face is the most beautiful. Krishna's lotus feet is beautiful. Krishna's speech is very beautiful. Like it is explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Valgu Jalpai is Krishna's speech. It's very nectarian. So the queens of Dwaraka are the gopis. They like to hear Krishna's speech. When Krishna begins speaking, it is so nectarian. Not only the voice is sweet, but the content of his words is also very pleasing for the people to hear. Prema avaloka ruchirasmita valgu jalpai. Prema avaloka means Krishna's sidelong glance. There is a prayer by the gopis. Gopis are praying. My dear Krishna, in the evening when you come at the twilight hour, surrounded by hundreds and thousands of white, pure white cows and calves, along with all the covered friends, you know, when the cows and calves are coming running, they are raising the dust cloud in the sky, and all the dust cloud comes and settles on the face of Krishna and other covered boys. And the gopis are saying, when you return in the evening like that, curly locks of blackish hair, they fall in the front of your forehead like this, and that makes you look so charming and so beautiful. And your sidelong glance with which you behold your devotees, that is so captivating that our hearts are sold out. In this world also, somebody's hair may fall in the front and we may become attracted. Isn't it? But great devotees don't become attracted. Why? In Rukmini, in one of her prayers, Rukmini is praying, she is saying to Krishna that, you know, I don't want to marry someone who, you know, whose body is made up of, you know, flesh bag. She is saying, flesh bag with some hair here and there, mooch and beard, all kinds of hair, which is a perishable body. I want to marry you, Krishna, who has a spiritual body. So this gopi's attraction for Krishna, their prayers, our prayers not only for the women, they are meant for all jivas. Women, men, cows, calves, monkeys, deers, for all the creatures. Because Krishna's attraction is the real attraction. He is sarva akarshan. So, prema avaloka, ruchirasmita. Ruchirasmita is the muskan or smile of Krishna. Valgu jalpai means the speech of Krishna. So, when Sudama visits the court of Krishna, you know, although Krishna was the king of Dwaraka, he doesn't have any false pride that I am king of Dwaraka. He puts aside, throws aside everything and comes running to the gate and he embraces Sudama at the gate and he takes him inside and makes him sit in his own bedstead where he and Rukmini used to sit. He made him sit there. Although Sudama was a poor Brahmana. And when Sudama was speaking, Prabhupada says Krishna was looking at Sudama. Because not only he wanted to hear the sweet, friendly talks of Sudama, he also wanted to see the beautiful form of Sudama, who was a pure Brahmana, and whose body was emaciated and who was very simple. So Krishna was delighting in simply associating with his friend. Sudama. And Sudama also came to Dwaraka only for seeing Krishna. Absolutely he had no other motive. Just to see Krishna and be with Krishna, associate with him, take his darshan and go back. He didn't want to ask him anything. So you can see how much the Lord's association influences the heart of his devotees. In the scriptures you can see. Lord's speech, all these things. So it's very enchanting. And it causes a sort of spiritual madness in the heart of the devotees. Now the devotees are ready to cast away all the allurements and attractions that the world is, Maya is offering in front of them, dangling in front of them. Maya always dangles all these six P's which I told, which are not pleasures, which are pains. She always dangles in front of us. But a devotee can say no to them. How? If a devotee has sincerely and faithfully executed devotional service and has awakened attraction for Krishna, then they can say no to the attractions of the world. I was reading Kulashekara's wonderful prayers. I would like to quote two of his wonderful prayers. He says, Tyajantu bandava sarve nindantu guravo janaha tadapi paramanando govindo mama jivanam. He's saying, let my relatives abandon me and my superiors condemn me, still the supremely blissful Govinda remain my life and soul. Govinda mama jivanam. Tatapi paramanando govindo mama jivanam. All blissful Govinda, he is my very life and soul. So when a person wants to take shelter of Krishna, there is going to be tremendous opposition from the society. He may be ostracized by the society also. But a devotee considers that ostracization as an opportunity to be aloof and meditate on Krishna more. He considers it a greater opportunity. He feels that, thank you very much for dissociating me from the karmis, materialists, so I can be with devotees and be in Krishna's association. A devotee feels like that. So, Tajantu Bandava Sarve, he is saying, I am ready to give up all my relatives and friends who are my materialistic relatives and friends. Now they may be cursing me, they may ridicule me, they may chastise me, admonish me. Let them do whatever they want. They may say that I have gone mad, I have become abnormal. He says, I don't care. He says, Nindantu Kuravo Jana, let my superiors even humiliate me. I don't care. Because you see, especially in Kali Yuga, people mock at saintly people, those who are devotional minded, whether you be grihastha or brahmachari. If they find that you are practicing religion very seriously, people may mock at you. At the same time, they praise demoniac leaders like the cinema actors and sports stars. They are being praised by the common people. But this verse should act as an inspiration and encouragement for us. We should take the spirit from Kulashekar. How we don't have to care for the material world, we have to care for what the Lord and His devotees are thinking about us. That's more important. How are we pleasing them? That's very important. For that matter, even Narada was chastised heavily by Daksha Prajapati, who called him as a Suhrda Gna, he called him. Devotees are called as Suhrda, but he's called him as a Suhrda Gna. Gna means one who is not a well-wisher, one who is against someone's well-being. That's what he called. But the devotees are called as Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. But Narada did not take that offensive words of Daksha Prajapati very seriously. The whole reason was that he thought that you have disrupted the family life of my sons, Hari Ashwas and Savalashwas. I had such a nice friendship with my sons and they would have got married and they would have remained with me. They would have ruled the world. But you have taken them away and they have become brahmacharis. In this way you have done a great disservice to my family. He became very angry, Daksha Prajapati, on Narada. But Prabhupada says that even if we are misunderstood, one must not abandon one's duty of preaching. One must go on with the mission on behalf of the Lord. Prabhupada is saying. So in this way, a devotee may be condemned by the people of the world, but a devotee does one's duty, Prabhupada says. Here is another very interesting verse of Kulashekara. This is a very nice verse. You all can repeat this verse. Satyam bravimi manuja. Satyam bravimi manuja. Yo yo mukunda narasimha janardaneti. Yo yo mukunda narasimha janardaneti.
ജീവോ ജപതി അനുദിനം മരണേരണേവാ പാഷാണകാഷ്ഠ അനുദിനം മര പാഷാണകാഷ്ഠ അനുദി പാഷാണകാഷ്ഠ സദൃശായ ദദാതി അഭീഷ്ടം.
അഭീഷ്ടം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വിച്ച് ഇസ് വെരി ഡിയർ ടു യു ഇൻ ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ വേൾഡ്. There are many, many things which are, to which we are attached to in this world. But he says, Dadati Abhishtam, you will give up the attractions of this world, attachments of this world, he says. How? Pashana Kashta, like giving up a stone or giving up a useless piece of wood. Pashana Kashta, Sadrishaya means like Dadati Abhishtam. Very dear objects of this world, we can very easily cast them away. How? He says, Joyo Mukunda Narasimha Janardaneti. If anybody in this world, they keep chanting this name, Mukunda Narasimha Janardana, like this spiritual names of the Lord, Jivo Japati Anudinam, every day, if you chant the holy names of the Lord, Marane Raneva, whether you are at the deathbed, or you are in battlefield, or in any other situation, if you chant the holy names, Satyam Bravimi Manuja, I am telling you the truth. My dear human beings of this world, he is saying. So I am Urdhva Bahur, I am raising both my arms and I am proclaiming this solemn truth to all of you. He says, the truth is, by chanting of the holy names of Krishna, you will develop attraction to that real object which has all those four traits. The name, form, pastimes, qualities, name, form, qualities and activities, everything is in Krishna's form. So Krishna's name. Krishna's name is like the seed by chanting which all the, you know, other things like the form, the qualities and activities of Krishna will sprout from that, like a banyan tree sprouting from a small seed. Like it is said, anavritti shabdat, by chanting the holy name, it will all manifest. And when that manifests in our heart, the attraction for the objects of this world will vanish. Like here Kulashekara is saying, like we found in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, how he could cast away kacham vichinban abhidivyaratnam swamin kritarthosmi varam nayache. He said, my dear Lord, all the pleasures of the world, they look like some broken pieces of glass for me now. Now that I have obtained your beautiful darshan, you are like a bluish sapphire. And by your darshan, my heart has become captivated by your beauty and your name, your form, your pastimes, your qualities and activities. So in this way, Krishna comes in the forefront. And all the allurements of Maya, they all become pale and stale and they fade away in the life of a devotee. Because, you know, you may have some object which is 10 rupees, some object which is 100 rupees. Purpose is if somebody gives you 20 crores, you know, then all this 10 rupee, 20 rupee, 100 rupee, all these requirements are within that. They become a subset of that. Then you have no more hankering. Similarly, obtaining Krishna means obtaining everything. There's nothing else to be obtained because Krishna is everything. And Krishna is the source of everything also. So here we find the Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamanam. Krishna is being served by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis who all serve Krishna. And Krishna is such an attractive object, he's called as the Emperor of Sweetness. One of the names of Krishna is Emperor of Sweetness. So he is such Emperor of Sweetness that he is able to attract all the Lakshmis to him. In fact, in the first canto verse, its amazement is expressed there that Krishna could even subdue queens like Satyabhama, who are very difficult to subdue by anybody. Because Satyabhama, he could keep even Satyabhama satisfied. Which is not a very... It's very difficult to keep one woman satisfied in this world. Prabhupada says, if you have a family, husband and wife, that family running is like, you know, maintaining an empire. Maintaining an entire empire. It's like you are a king of the world, you have to maintain a family. But here Krishna has 16,108 queens. And some of the queens are like Satyabhama, who demand, give me Parijata flower. And Krishna is able to even win their heart. Can you imagine? How wonderful. Because that only Krishna can do. Because, you know, Krishna can do the impossible. What is impossible for a common living entity? Like, you know, Sandipani Muni and his wife, when they were approached by Krishna at the end, after he was leaving the Gurukula, he asked, what gift can I offer you, my dear Guru? I want to offer you some Dakshina. What dakshina can you ask Krishna? So they both consulted amongst one another and they decided that, you know, we will ask for something which no one else can give. So they wanted their dead son back. So Krishna went to Samyamani. He went to Yamaloka and he got the son back. Who can do that? Krishna went to Mahavishnu and got all the sons of the Brahmana back. And Krishna went to heaven and got the Parijata whole tree. He uprooted it and gave it to Satyabhama. So this gives us understanding that there is nothing that is impossible for Krishna. Everything is possible. And he can satisfy everyone. It's possible. So in this way, by understanding the attraction of the queens for Krishna and their eagerness for engaging in the Lord's service, Prabhupada is concluding in this purport that one should, here he says, one need not seek the moving goddess of fortune without the relation of the Lord. And also he says the highest profession of human life is to seek some employment under the Lord's supreme service. This will make one extremely happy, which means permanently happy. So Prabhupada says in material life, you know, the living beings are compared to a dog which is carrying a Prabhupada is saying in that verse, Shavid Varahoshtra Karehi Samsutha Purusha Pashuhu Na Karana Yatu Patavipeta Jatu Nama Kadagrasaka. There it is said in that verse, there are four animals said, I will not explain all the four, only dog we will explain. The example of a dog, in that purport Prabhupada is writing, like people in the modern times, you know, are carrying their certificate in their mouth and going from door to door asking for employment. And just like the dog is driven away, they are driven away saying there is no vacancy, get out. And again they run to another door. Sir, is there vacancy? They go door to door like that, he says. So Prabhupada is saying, why do you seek vacancy? Why do you seek employment like this? Only a Shudra has to be employed. He's saying, don't be employed. Prabhupada is saying that, you know, you become a Brahmana, you accept this wisdom of the Lord, what he is giving in scriptures, and you preach, and you propagate this knowledge, and Krishna will send you everything. He's saying that. So, if one is seeking employment from material leaders, material masters, like, you know, seeking employment under a politician, saying that so-and-so ki Jindabad, so-and-so ki Muradabad, you know, they say all that. Like, you know, in lorries, you know, truckloads of people go, you know, they pay them and, you know, get their followers. You can pay some money and get votes, like that. So we don't have to become followers of such fools and rascals, Prabhupada says. And we don't have to become followers of materialistic money mongers. There are so many people working in companies where they have to do something against their conscience. Like mobile companies, you join, one of the first things they teach you is to how to tell lies about some of the facilities that mobile has. Actually, there is no facility in the mobile, but you have to tell people that you have that facility. And then they will buy the mobile, later on they will shout at you. On phone, the shouting also you only have to get. Can you imagine? You have to tell lies, and for telling lies you have to get shout, and for that company will pay you salary for that. So there are people who do that. So we have to work like a dog under such people. Yeah, there are many companies who demand you to do such things. They use you as a tool to push their product, and they also make you the victim to suffer the curses of the people also. They do like that. So Baba is saying, why to take shelter of such a false masters, those who are cheaters? Take shelter of Krishna, the ultimate master. Nayakanam Shiroratnam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the hero amongst all heroes. So seek employment under Krishna, Prabhupada is saying. You serve him and everything will be provided to you, all that is needed for you. Because he is the person, Nityo Nityanam Chetana Chetananam Yeko Bahunam Yo Vedadati Kaman. He will maintain you, he will take care of you. So this is not to say all of you give up your jobs and, you know, join the temple full time. But you will find, see our friend in the morning, Rajsuya Prabhu, who went in the morning. I was feeling so joyful simply to look at him. See, he's a grihastha, he has a family, he has a son, but he's fully devoted. He's fully devoted. You know, he's chanting, dancing, waking up in the morning, he's maintaining a temple, he's the president of a temple. So irrespective of whether we are brahmacharis, grihasthas, we should maximize Krishna time and minimize Maya time. This is a formula. Minimize Maya's time. Don't give your head to Maya. She will cut off your head. Don't give your head to Maya. Give your head to Krishna. Krishna will garland you and accept you as his devotee. like he accepted Sudama. So we have to maximize Krishna time in whatever ashram we may be. Because when we are in this world, we have to work for someone, earn some money, earn our livelihood. But you know, we cannot get sold out to them like slaves. Some people say that, you know, Prabhuji, what can I do? I have no time for Krishna. It's a shame to say that you are working 16 hours for some materialist foaming in the mouth, and you don't have even, you know, morning you struggle hard to finish your 16 rounds somehow, and all day you are a sold out slave to a materialist, like an African slave sold to somebody. You've seen African slaves in those days? They would sell a person. Companies are purchasing people with money, some paper notes, not even gold. Simply with paper notes they are purchasing people. So we should not get purchased by people. Either we, our body, our mind, our senses are all property of Krishna. And only Krishna is the only deserving hero who deserves the service of all our body, mind and senses. This should always be in the forefront of our mind. And we should engage it in Krishna service. And we should also bring more and more souls who are wandered away from Krishna. We should bring them back to feet of Krishna. And then they will also realize the genuine attraction which lies in Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Thank you very much.